Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. I'm going to remind you back on the way back to our conversation that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com. Or you can go to steinershow.org, click on the banner, their banner. All the information is there. Remember, Baltimore's Credit Union, www.mecu.com. We switch gears here and talk about something affecting Baltimore City, which actually goes beyond Baltimore City, some people would argue. And that is the question of the City Council passing a bill. And I will say what I had to say before, but I'm sure our City Councilwoman will correct me if I'm wrong about certain things.
You have never been wrong that I've been on this program, Mark.
That's right.
But I will, if, in
she,
case.
She will. That the City Council passed a bill that said that 51% of all hires on
new hires
on contracts in the city, and ones where the city is putting $5 million in or more. Do I have that right?
Correct. Or $300,000 contract.
Or have to come from Baltimore City.
That's right.
Now, the president of the council was wrong when he said Baltimore has the highest unemployment rate in the state. It does not. The highest employment rates in the states are on the Eastern Shore, not in Baltimore City, but they're still too high. The highest rates are in Dorchester County, Worcester County, and those communities are really not in Baltimore City. However,
well, we'll be happy to go down and help them get a bill like this approved.
Well, let's talk about what this bill really means. So we are here to talk about that the city law department is saying that this bill is unconstitutional. And my question would be, are we approaching this right? Is this a question of trying to do the right thing but in the wrong way? Are we not thinking creatively about how to make this thing happen? And some people I was with last night were saying at least the City Council is now standing up to the mayor and saying we have to do something for the citizens of Baltimore. So we are here with Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, who represents the 14th District. Marta Mossberg is with us, a columnist for the Baltimore Sun and the Frederick News Post. And Corey McCray, labor activist and co-founder of the Best Democratic Club. And all of you at 410-319-8888, join us. Folks, welcome. Good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And what were you going to say, Councilwoman?
I was going to say, I forgot what I was going
That's
to
right.
say. I was going to say this is a great bill, and it's not. The thing about this legislation is that we're not the first in the country to have it. San Francisco and Boston both have very similar legislation. And it's been in effect for a while. Now it hasn't been challenged. But in California, there's a city, East Palo Alto. East Palo Alto, which has had this legislation since the year 2000. I think it's good because it's straightforward. If you have a $300,000 contract with the city for anything, or if you have more than $5 million coming to you in cities subsidies for a development, those are big numbers.
Yep.
Then you, on those contracts, all the new people that you hire to help you with that contract, at least 51% of them must live in Baltimore City.
So, and Marta, what is your issue with this bill? Tell me why you think it's wrong.
I would agree with the legal department that it's unconstitutional in the sense that you're treating some workers as better than others, and which is, you know, if there's a qualified person in Baltimore County but not a qualified person in Baltimore City, and you're forced to hire someone from Baltimore City, that just doesn't seem to make much sense for the company or for workers in general, because now you're going to have two people who aren't working instead of one. I was looking through some what labor leaders had to say about this law in other parts of the country, and it was interesting because I saw something from one of the guys who's the head of a labor movement out in San Francisco about this type of legislation, and he says the local hire can become a tool of demagoguery, of crowd baiting. It allows some to draw a following by saying you should have the jobs they have. And by pitting union worker against union worker, this contradicts yet another of our ideals. So I thought that was kind of interesting to hear from a union leader how this works for union workers. Because you're actually putting one person ahead of another, even regardless of skills or regardless of how long someone's been out of work and many other you know, many other aspects of that person's job hunt.
Corey McRae.
Mark, I would go on to say that it was long overdue. I very much applauded the council president, the city council, when they took the initiative to do it. The reality is that we got to push. It's a lot of people that's out of work right now. I found myself out of work for 3 weeks in 2011 and collecting that $400 check. And when it's a difference between it's a difference between a person that's been getting a check for 20 years and don't know what the $400 and how it is to live off of it, and then that person that is getting it. So I would go to say, and after that, after collecting unemployment, I worked 3 months making a third of my pay. So the reality is that those workers are constantly calling the councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, the council president Jack Young, and saying, "Do something,
help us."
I'm going to get a caller in here, but I want to ask some very specific questions about what we maybe think or not thinking about when it comes to bills like this.
Sure.
And whether this is the right or wrong way to go and push it a little bit. But because we do have to address unemployment, lack of training for people in the city, is this the way to do it is what I want to approach all of you. 410-319-8888 is a number here to join us. Nigel, you're on the air. Hi, Nigel, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning to everyone there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks for the opportunity to chime in. One of the observations that I've been looking at since I came to Baltimore City was that if the city is going to be on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars of capital improvement projects, but do not have a way to make sure that the population that is being served benefits from those capital improvement projects, which results in taxes that they can pay and makes its way back in to the city coffers, then we're always going to be at a deficit for funds to pay for these projects. Most of these people that I have observed that do like street sidewalk fixes and so forth, most of them seem to be coming from out of the counties. So the monies that they make, the salaries that they gain from these jobs, the taxes are paid to the counties. The city doesn't see any of that. So I really applaud the councilman and all the support that he's getting from the other council folks to have some mechanism to make sure that folks in this city, regardless of color, have an opportunity to participate in these capital projects.
Let me just ask a question. Marta, you can come in, then Mary Pat, because a question I have about that is, you were going to say something, Marta, and then Mary Pat, then I have a question about that.
Sure.
I feel like this law is very well intentioned, but it assumes that the jobs that companies want within Baltimore City match with the qualifications that workers have within the city, and that those are two separate things that you cannot put together.
You know, that really gets to one of the points of the thing. First of all, Nigel makes the point that is overwhelming, which is we, the city, are paying for these projects by and large. We in the city need to do what we can to get a return on our investment in every way we can. One return on our investment is the one that's pointed out, which is that the more we have our own unemployed people in Baltimore employed, the more piggyback tax we're getting back to support more projects. In other words, it just makes economic sense for us. And we're not.
Right, but you're not answering the question about
what's the question.
Whether or not the skills line up.
Makes me so. Let me just say this: can't find qualified workers. Don't know where to look. They're not. People aren't here. Untrue in every case.
Why is it untrue?
Because it is untrue that we do not in Baltimore City have the kinds of skilled workers that people need.
Let me just push that a little further.
Because they don't even know where the opportunities are. Legislation, let me finish my sentence, is it's simple, it's direct, and people know about it, and they'll know that they have a right.
What Marta's saying is, and I think I don't have the stats in front of me, but we have a lot of people in this town, almost 30,000 people unemployed. We have 115,000 people in the city. We have 25% of Baltimoreans are officially impoverished. 155,000 people officially impoverished, which means people are working at low wages if they have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only the people on the official line. But what do we know about people who have the skills? Who has the skills to be an electrician, a carpenter?
That's what I wanted to touch on. I'm a member of the IBW. I'm an electrician by trade. And the reality is that those opportunities, that's what put me through an apprenticeship. That's what put me in a middle class.
What did?
the being an electrician, being able to make a good wage by being an electrician.
But you had to learn it first.
And I had to learn it.
You went through an apprenticeship program.
But that apprenticeship program gave me the opportunity to be the first-year apprentice, second-year apprentice. So why can't the people in Baltimore City be the first-year apprentice, second-year apprentice, and learn that trade?
Okay, but this law is not going to make that happen.
So that does make that happen, because one of the things is I saw a little world go up in where I live at in East Baltimore, and it was a lot of Pennsylvania tags, it was a lot of Delaware tags, mm-hmm. and that was a great opportunity for us to go to work. Baltimore City to go to work.
So wait a minute. But this is a really critical issue here.
The opportunity will inspire the training.
Okay, Mary Pat, with all due respect, I don't think inspiring is enough. I think if you're going to make something happen in this city, include that somehow, because with this new education construction, take that alone. If you get all the money we're talking about here, $2.4 billion or more, to rebuild our schools in Baltimore, right? That's like building, as someone said to me last night, who works in the city government for a long time, said that's like 4 or 5 stadiums being built in the city. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of money coming into the city. He also said that somebody from Houston could win that contract because they're a low bidder and hire nobody from the city.
Mm-hmm. That is sure.
That's correct.
So the question is, how do you ensure, A, that this is used to train people to do so they can become the Corey McRae's of tomorrow, which are guys like you who came out of poor working class communities on the corner and said, I want to do something different. You told me your story, right? You got into IBEW, you became an electrician.
Yep.
So you'd be able to take care of a family, raise children, and have a life.
Exactly.
Right? So how do we get there? You're not going to get there with this legislation because it's not specific at all.
Don't say that, Mark, because that's not the case.
No, it is because—
do you presume that in Baltimore City we lack skilled people, but maybe all around us they exist.
I can give you so many examples of that.
Marta, go ahead, then I'll come back.
I mean, I've spent so much time looking at, we've increased the graduation rate in Baltimore City high schools, and I think that's fantastic. But if you go to Baltimore City Community College and you actually talk with so many of the incoming students or any place around the state in community colleges, many of these students, a majority of them, do not have basic writing and math skills. So if you do not have, and they've graduated, so if you do not have basic skills like that, how do you expect to get any kind of job?
This is the problem we face.
So this is a long-term
this
problem.
This attitude.
A top-down law. Well, it cannot.
No, it is not the case. I know my community. I know the skilled people that are out there hungering for work.
That does not mean that their skills match the jobs that are.
That anyone else's skills match them either.
It does, because you have a wider pool that comes from outside of the city.
Why is it wider? Because it's not us?
No, because when you add more people, Baltimore City is a set population. So if you increase it to, let's say, the whole state, then there's obviously more people who are available to apply for that job who could be more qualified.
Stereotyping of us.
Oh, I'm not stereotyping anyone.
No. I didn't say you. I said exist. That we sit here as victims of unskilled, being un-everything, and that
you're
is not the reality.
Well, hold on. Let me just tell me, and let me go back to the phone to get a call, because I really want to deal with what
Ms. Marta talks about it as a person that's looking from the outside looking in. I went through an apprenticeship program. I went through the Baltimore City public school system, so I didn't have the writing skills. You don't need to be a big English teacher writer to be a construction worker. I had the basic math skills, and I had to learn a little bit more. I had to stay after a little bit more. But that's what it takes if you want to go to work. You will put that extra mile up to do it.
I walk through my neighborhoods, and okay. I meet young guys with all kinds of training. They've paid for their own training to go through trade schools. They've gotten their licenses to drive trucks and equipment.
So the question is,
they're unemployed.
The question is, I don't have the stats in front of me. My guess would be that there are lots of people here that have skills in Baltimore City that could take jobs.
I would agree.
I would also
say. There are lots of poor.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. I'd also say that there are a lot more people who want jobs in Baltimore and don't have the skills. Because I've talked to owner after owner looking for electricians, looking for plumbers, looking for people who really know carpentry and have the skills, looking for machinists. They can't find them. So that's a reality as well.
How about guys that are the traffic signalers waving a flag or the guys that are digging a hole in the corner? You start doing that. Fine.
No. I'm saying you start somewhere else. I'm saying that if we're going to use this money, should we start with training programs, start getting people paid to learn their skills to work as you did.
I think it's a great opportunity.
So how do we get there is the question. So we're gonna,
there are training programs that my constituent young men are taking now, paying for
them. I want to calm this down so we can get to some facts.
I'm sorry. This is a fact.
Okay, but let me come back for a break. Do we take a break right now, Bobby? No? Go to the caller. 410-319-8888. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And I'm in the area code of 06 in Baltimore City.
That's okay. My area code.
Yeah.
I'm a skilled worker. So for the record, I am one of those individuals who has
skills.
I'm licensed. I'm certified. Okay? And I've been out of work since October. I've been trying to get into, the system through EDBI and other programs.
Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time getting in.
Why are you having a hard time, Michael, do you think?
I think it's because it may be my age. I just turned 60 in February.
Right.
And it may be because I'm a union worker. Maybe they're scared to hire me, thinking that if the union calls, I'm gone. And I'm trying to get someone to commit, you know, for me, because I want to be here in Baltimore and I want to help with the city, you know, within its growth. And so everything that you all are saying is fine. But, you know, hey.
Well, Michael, what is your skill? What do you do?
I'm a sheet metal journeyman. I put in duct systems.
Okay.
I've done it at the D.C. baseball stadium. I've done it for Johns Hopkins in Rockville. I've done it for the FDA and Silver Spring. You know, I've done it all over. I've even done it in residences.
So,
here in Baltimore City.
So, golly day, we've got two people now in Baltimore.
Well,
no,
without being sarcastic, just a second, stop. I have to take a break.
Here.
Michael, you can hold on for a minute if you like. We can take a break and come right back. Join us here at 410-319-8888. We'll come back to it. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are here with Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, represents the 14th District, Marta Marsburg, columnist for the Baltimore Sun and the Frederick News Post, and Corey McRae, labor activist and co-founder of Best Democratic Club, who is also one of our roundtable voices here on the Mark Steiner Show. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join us. And we do, I was told by producer, we have to get right to the phone. Marta, you were trying to say something, because let me have your say, and then very quickly, Mary Pat, because I want to get right to the phones here.
No, I mean, I just, wanted to reiterate that I think that with this law, you're basically discriminating against people who don't live in the city for jobs that they could do equally well or better than people who live in the city. So it's that on top of the fact that the main goal needs to be hiring more people, getting more jobs back into the city, and I feel like this is just another, ding on Baltimore's reputation as being anti-business.
Wrong. I would disagree with you and say this. It's in our city's financial self-interest for our people to be employed. We're spending our money on these projects. Let's make it work doubly for us. It's in our self-interest. The taxpayers get a double benefit from it.
So
thank you.
Let me go right to the phones and come right back to Corey at 410-319-8888. The next caller up is Donna. You're on the air. Hi, Donna. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, I'd just like to make a comment
and
ask a question. When I was coming up, my father used to try to get into the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he always made comments about it's the old white boy system. And if you don't have a high degree, you can't get into it. And then when I grew up, I became interested in the construction industry, and I went to school for some courses. I need 5 classes to finish. And construction supervision. And I'm a 55-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the program came about at the BCCC because the industry is filled with old white men about to retire. And they don't have any blacks for the positions, and they don't have any women. And they have given us grants and funds to get blacks and women into the industry. It's been a closed industry for a long time. And also, our schools used to teach trades to our children as they were growing up to be able to come out and have a trade, a skill. And now they're taking these things out of our schools and they're just teaching them math and English. Everybody's not just interested in writing a book or speaking.
Do you have skills, then, to be in the construction industry from your academic work?
Yes, I do.
Well, there you are. Another one, Mark. How about that? Isn't that interesting?
I have 5 courses to complete my degree in construction supervision.
Thank you very much. And
I also think that Ms. Myers needs to calm down about Baltimore City residents. Because we're just as wonderful as any of us.
Amen.
And ready to go to work.
And skilled.
Okay. Donna, thank you for the thought. Let me first go to Corey and then over to Marta and then back to the phones.
Okay. I think that she makes a great point that, you know, in order to do what we have to do or lift our community up, we have to put money back into our communities. We do that by going to work. We do that by putting our people back to work. You'll see that our neighborhoods grow. You'll see that those things change. And just as Ms. Marta has stated earlier in reference to the jobs, there is an abundance of people that's ready to go to work in our neighborhoods, and we have to make sure that we take care of those interests before we take care of others. We have to make sure we take care of home.
I never said there were no skilled workers in Baltimore City. I totally believe there's many of them. Up until recently, I considered myself a skilled worker in Baltimore City for different you know, not construction jobs, but for writing. But I mean, there's plenty of people out there. The question is, what's the best way to put people back to work? And I think making a top-down decision like this that forces employers to make decisions when they, you know, it might not be in their best interest, doesn't help anyone.
Forcing employers that's receiving government subsidies.
Right. They don't have to.
They shouldn't take government subsidies then. But it seems like,
right.
And the sad thing about Baltimore, though, is that so many people have moved out. I mean, businesses keep leaving. I mean, largely, Baltimore is one of the largest nonprofit economies in the country, because that seems to be the only place that, the only thing that works.
Stop. It's because we're the center of the state and we became the institutional capital of the state.
You can look at Baltimore has one of the highest percentages of nonprofits in the country.
We understand.
Not just in the state. And that, because there's very little for-profit work in the city. The city needs to make the city much more attractive to do business.
This is generalization 101. Please, let's get back to reality.
Getting people back to work.
But most of them.
Don't we have to have a bigger conversation about what works and what doesn't in the city?
But the largest employer in the state of Maryland is a nonprofit called Johns Hopkins University
and
Hospital.
It's right here, and we don't want them to go moving anyplace else because they provide jobs, which is at the heart of building up our community. And this bill, you know what? You don't want to be a contractor with the city? You don't have to even pay attention to this law. But if you are, we want 51% of new hires that you bring on board for that project to be from the city. And I promise you that we have the skilled workers. And by the way, excuse me, I represent Mervo. We still do have vocational education, very fine vocational education in our high schools.
We have Mervo's great, but we have not.
Excuse me?
Our voc ed in the city has not caught up to the 21st century.
Well, I think we probably have the skills to compete for the jobs that we're talking about in this bill. And as it is now, our children graduate from the Carvers and the Mervos, and they still can't find work. They then go on and pay to even get more vocational training and stand on the corners asking for help to get jobs.
Let me get some callers in here. 410-319-8888. Curtis in Randallstown, you're on the air. Curtis, you're on the air? Curtis, you there? Curtis? Curtis, you're on the air. Hello? Hold on, Curtis. We'll try to come back to you. Don't go away. Let's go to David. You're on the air.
Curtis, you're on the air.
David, you're on the air.
I'm on the air, I think. David?
Could you turn down your radio, please?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome.
I've been a teacher for about 12 years, okay? And about 4 years ago, I lost my job at the mayor's office, okay? And since then, I haven't been able to find work at all. I left overseas to find work, and I was able to find gainful employment. Upon coming back, under unfortunate circumstances, I still haven't been able to find work. I'm well-skilled, well-educated, and it seems to me that some corporations are bringing in people from overseas to take jobs where people here in the city actually do have skills to fulfill. I see it regularly, people coming over from Nigeria, people coming over from, you know, Africa, the Philippines, and so on. It happened before with the teachers' jobs, and now it's happening with skilled labor jobs. Can you answer that question? You know, I mean, it's not actually a question, but can you kind of clarify these circumstances here and for the people?
Thank you, David.
Well, you have to be, to qualify for employment under this bill, you have to be a resident of Baltimore City, period, the end. And, of course, it goes without saying that there, as people hire their 51% new people, they'll have qualifications. This bill does not say take unskilled workers. We know we have skilled workers. And fit them in where you need people, but make sure you're recruiting from the city.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand there are a lot of people like Michael who called in who are skilled and don't have jobs.
Yeah, really.
Wait. But I also want to know what the numbers are, and I don't know what the numbers are. I know that we have 155,000 people who live at the official poverty line in Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. I know we have 30,000 people in the city that are unemployed. We have
Who knows if the jobs that are going to become available as a result of these new hires are going to match the skills of the people that called in.
But even if
it's just not, those two don't necessarily add up, and that seems like that's what you're saying though. You're making the argument that all these people who are skilled are going to find work now, but that's assuming that the new jobs are going to come on board match those people's skills, which just isn't the case.
These jobs run the gamut.
Those new hires can be apprentices. Those new hires can be different things like that. They don't always have to be that journeyman. Before I was a journeyman, I did 5 years in an apprenticeship. So learning that skill is just as important as working on that job. And the attributes that you can have after you learn those skills should be considered too, Ms. Marta, is what I think you should think about.
I mean, part of the issue is if we have all these billions of dollars coming into Baltimore for this one thing, there's more money on top of that. The billions of dollars for school construction that are coming to the city.
Yeah, but that's not going to be covered by this.
Why wouldn't it be covered by this? Then
well,
what
because,
are we doing?
Because the school system will let the contracts for the rehabs, and the stadium authority will let the contracts.
Well, then that should. Well, wait a minute. Then that's another conversation. Why should that
right.
be? Well, that's crazy. So that's the thing, because that means the stadium authority can then give the contract to anybody anywhere in America.
Well, they have their own rules and regulations.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Is that because it's state money and not city money?
Hey, wait a minute, everybody. Marta, are you against that? Shall we just tell them what to do?
I'm just trying to clarify because that's state money and not city money.
It's not in this. This is a Baltimore City contract of $5 million development or more, or of $300,000, any kind of contract. Like, for example, David. I don't know what he did, but he taught and he worked for the mayor's office. There are contracts like to consult on different issues for the city, like the police department has a contract, apparently a big one, to get people in to figure out a plan for the police department. Well, if that exceeds $300,000, then they would have to 51% of the new people that contractor brings in to help with that project would have to be city residents. And so people with teaching experience, et cetera, would probably qualify. And there's plenty of people who are teachers who have lost their jobs.
I just think it challenges the conversation, and we need to have it. You know, it was a time where probably in-state tuition, you know, wasn't a thing, but we looked at that. It's a time when we didn't give subsidies to older people for their BGE bills or different things like that. So this is a time where people want to go to work. Baltimore City's ready to go to work, and we can't be scared to have the conversation.
But it seems to me, let's go to the phones here, there's something drastically wrong if the single biggest chunk of money coming to Baltimore City to build will not be in this bill.
Well, I'm just saying that I don't see how it could be in this bill. I don't want to get into that debate because
why?
We don't have the expertise here
it's
to
the state,
say it.
It's the state
but I don't want you to be. I don't want us to be saying the $1 billion because that's coming through the school system, which is not a city agency, but the new construction's coming through the stadium authority.
And that's what I'm saying. There we have a fundamental issue.
Well, now you're worried that we're not going to get more money in this bill, but I got arguing that we shouldn't have this bill at all.
No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that this is part of where the abyss always happens when it comes to really making things work.
We're still, like, Waverly Library is getting renovated, okay? In a couple months, the bids are out, all right? That's a city contract. There's lots of city contracts. So if let's start and get it going, and then we will see about the Stadium Authority, but that's a state institution.
410-319-8888. Curtis, are you there? Curtis?
Yes.
Could you turn down your radio? We couldn't hear you before.
Oh, turn it down?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. All right.
Curtis?
Yes.
Yeah, could you turn down your radio? We couldn't hear you before.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Are we on now?
You are. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my comment on the situation at hand is that all too often people is in a class of their own. And that being said, we have to remember that everybody should be given a chance and to seek when they go seek a job, because you never know what the individual at hand could be capable of. I mean, you got some people with high degrees and everything that's still incapable of doing what they're supposed to do. Everybody should be given an equal chance to have a job. And I'm saying this because I've been out there. I'm 61 now. And that don't stop me. I can still outwork, in work the best of them, but if the job is not given to you, what are you going to do? All too often people use their own assumption. Do I want this man? Do I want that? Try them out. Give them a chance, because at the end of the day, there's some people that's interested in working, and there's some that's not. I worked all of my life.
All right.
My first job was at a grocery store, delivery boy, 15. So I know the ins and outs of work. So but if people don't give you the job, what you going to do?
Curtis, we're almost out of time, so I appreciate this your comment. Let me go a very quick comment to Michael Johnson. Michael, you're on the air. Michael, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you, Mark?
Very well. Welcome.
And my friends, it's Mike Johnson. How are you?
Oh,
Mike, what's up, brother?
I just cannot believe that the conversation about the $1 billion for the school system is not included in this bill, considering the fact that $20 million, a part of this package, has to come out of Baltimore City. I mean, for us to sit here and suggest that all of this construction, for all of this additional education, for us to educate people to get jobs in Baltimore, are coming to Baltimore, and the conversations of the construction jobs available are not coming through to Baltimore, and this conversation, I haven't called the radio show in a while. No one has heard me, but I had to call this morning, Mark.
Well, what you'll have to do, since we're almost out of time on this one, Michael Johnson, is I'll let our comments have a final, have a final thought before we go to break here.
Sure.
But is to have you, as one of our regular roundtable guests, and you can come on the show to debate it and take part of that in the next week. How's that?
Whatever you guys want to do,
better make sure that I don't want to mislead people.
I think you are correct, but we only have about a minute.
Michael, right now, I know what a great advocate you are, and you always have been. Let me say this. I got a bunch of people out there saying we haven't got anybody in the city, basically, who's available, who's skilled, who's going to be able to fill these jobs. And that is just the kind of prejudice and racism that we've fought against all these years. Help us there, and then we'll go see about the Stadium Authority.
Marta Mossberg?
Well, I think the councilwoman was just accusing me of being prejudiced and racist, so I take offense at that. I've never argued that there are not skilled people here, so I'd like her to clarify her remarks about that. But I think this is a wrong way to create jobs in the city, and I think that the city always tries top-down approaches, and it always has the highest unemployment rates. It always has issues creating jobs, and it always has been losing people and jobs. And so I think that we need to have a bigger conversation about what's going to work, and this law is not it.
Corey McRae.
I just applaud the council president. I applaud the city council. And I just like to say that I'm one of them people that grew up in Baltimore City that was looking for an opportunity and found that opportunity by receiving a skilled craft.
I want to thank all of our guests for being here and our listeners for calling in. It's been a fascinating discussion. We're coming back this very soon in depth again, longer program. Thank you all for being here. And we take a quick break, come back, and examine the life of Malcolm X and what it means for the 21st century. Stay with us.